Good morning, everyone. This is Gary Kay, and thank you again for listening to my rants and raves. We've got a special guest today, and I'm not going to pronounce his name properly, but I'm going to try to. It's Leandra Hrubak, segment manager for strategic marketing at Barco. How'd I do, Leandra?
Well, pretty good, pretty good.
You're in the inside your head. You're laughing at me. and you have a great job, by the way, because a lot of your focus is on like amusement parks and attractions and entertainment venues and experiential marketing things. What an awesome business to be in! And we all just went to an experiential marketing event in ISE. How was that for you?
That was great, and you're right, absolutely. I think the market on itself breeds so much fun on itself, but there's also so many passionate people there that it's hard not to get excited, right? And how was ISE? Well, I think in general, good, definitely in terms of people that showed up to have very good quality conversations. And as always, right, we're quite proud to bring out a couple of new things at ISE every year, and sometimes you're not too sure about the response, but actually we had a quite an overwhelming response on the products that we showed, but also on the messages that we gave with regards to the segment and specifically entertainment.
So it's, you have an interesting, I think a lot of people may not understand how complicated an entertainment venue is. And I think this is a big, giant, huge portion of the future of our market. I think what you're doing is a crossover between large staging events and highly complicated permanent installations, because the venues are moving. The experiences are almost always moving or have multiple components to them. So that's the staging side of it. But the complication comes in the fact that you have something that is like as critical to the organization as a control room is to a government. Because if a amusement park shuts down for an hour, they lose a tremendous amount of money potentially, and more importantly, customer service complaints start rolling in. So explain how this works, because you're talking about a lot of processing, a lot of data, and a lot of coordination.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I think it is as mission critical, obviously for different reasons, but definitely for our customers, it is as mission critical and real mission critical markets that that we see, for instance, with problems. Overall, I think in complexity, you're right as well. I mean, there are so many pieces of technology that need to work together to deliver an experience, especially if you look in theme parks, for instance, to a flying theater or a dark ride type of application. Then obviously the guest in the end doesn't want to see the technology. That's already a challenge on itself. It does not, technology is not allowed to be intrusive. But next to that, it all needs to cooperate at the right moment in time, sometimes programmed on milliseconds, and it simply shouldn't fail, right? And that's three of the most challenging type of things that we combine there. And I would say as Barco, what we typically look at first is sort of what's the maximum that you can achieve. And fortunately, I would say as Barco, we are also active in some of the more, professional high critical markets. Because some of the technologies today used in team entertainment are actually derived from, for instance, simulators, flight simulators, or from, very high-end cinema type of applications as well. And that's been a core strength for us, right? We've been able to innovate in these premium and very high-tech professional markets. And actually, through that, we have been able also to capture what is really needed and to make sure that sort of the critical that is needed also in teen entertainment and other entertainment markets, that we can really push that through and that we can really, give the comfort to the customers in terms of technology.
And where does the AV come in? What parts of this is, because there's a tremendous amount, like you go ride one of these simulation rides, or you go to a digital cinema that's tricked out with the best technology that Barco has. And by the way, I forget what that one system you have that has three projectors projecting at the same time. It's mind-boggling when you watch a movie in there. Barco Escape. Where's the AV? I mean, obviously projection, but there's a lot more to it, right?
Absolutely. I think projection. That's indeed the display, and it's not just projection. More and more entertainment. It's also much more about LED, for instance, as a technology, direct view LED as well. But yes, that's ultimately what you see, right? That's where the light hits your eyes and where you start being immersed into it. But beyond that, there's a whole chain of events, and it really starts with the content and the media, obviously. And then from there on, all of these signals get pushed through to all of the endpoints being the display. Now, there's different stages of you know, what part of technology treats it. But from a projection point of view, for instance, you know, the light on itself and the colors and the qualities that it needs to bring is one aspect. But also within the projector, and there's quite some smart technology there to make sure that then, you know, the signal is conditioned in the right way, that it behaves in the right way. And going upstream as well, that actually different pieces of that whole puzzle, from display to image processor to media server to, you know, whatever else is in there, that all of these things talk together in the end. So that there is a full chain of data as well as video signals meeting each other and understanding each other to make it all work together in the end.
This is an opportunity, I think, for AV integrators who are doing really high-end work. And we do have some that do business for like Disney and traditional music parks, and also you know, more creative experiential venues. I think this is a huge opportunity because here in the US, for example, we have these giant mega shopping malls. And as more and more people move towards shopping online, you're going to have these big open spaces that are available to grow entertainment venues, just, you know, everything from more movie theaters, exposition houses, but also experiences like where you put little miniature music parks that are available where someone can go spend a half a day and do something different, differentiated. So yeah. What, you know, and I have an expectation that market is growing. I could be wrong. How buoyant is it, and how big and how fast is it growing, or am I right or wrong?
I think you're right. I mean, there's the traditional sort of entertainment markets like theme parks, where it's, you know, it's pretty clear what the objective is there, right? I mean, there is a certain facility and there is a number of rides that go in there, and people go there to get, that's the whole model. But there's more other locations indeed that sort of need to remain relevant, right? And also, especially in the broader out-of-home industry, you know, want to pull people away from the comfort of Netflix in their homes or the comfort of whatever they find online, right? So that means that you need to bring an appealing story. And the best way to do it is not, you know, is one, have a great story. And I think that's important. But also in order to broaden your audience and ensure that there's a certain recurrence also in, you know, the visiting your facility or your venue, you need to be flexible in adopting. And it means that also the physical aspect of your venue should not be the limitation, right? And that's really where we see technology coming in, especially visualization technology, because it literally can sort of, with a flick of the switch, turn around your environment. And today, you know, it could be a fairy tale story, and tomorrow it could be a whole other story, actually. And I think that's exactly where the use of technology gets a very fast adaptation, because it allows you to really create that environment and tell different stories time and time again. And it applies to both retail, to shopping malls. We see it, you know, being applied in corporates, in experience centers, right? Where they also want to tell a story on a different level, but really have that flexibility and that scale, because, you know, because that's exactly what the customer expects, or the audience expects in the end.
Yeah, to me, it's really interesting because I can kind of see the future, but obviously I'm not, certainly not an expert at this segment of the market, but I could see that there's such an opportunity here. My question was going to be, you know, how are these kind of venues being innovative in their use of AV? But I kind of want to ask it a different way. I'd love for you to give me an example of two or three of your favorite sort of applications right now.
Yeah. Well, one definitely, and it depends indeed a bit on the segments, because there's so many in the end. But if you, for instance, think about a museum world, right? Museums, they have a typical sort of goal to preserve the past and tell a story about culture or history, you know, different aspects of that. And we all know, you know, sort of the museum sort of experience where you go and watch a piece of art sitting there in a certain cabinet. It could be interesting on itself, but it might not really be that attractive, especially to young folks. Well, two examples there that I want to give is one, for instance, actually here in Belgium, is what is called Lights on Van Eyck. So Van Eyck, famous 15th century painter, right? Where basically that painting on itself is beautiful on itself, right? It's magnificent how it was created back then. But actually where a complete digital, let's say, choreography was made, where robotic arms swing around displays and show you in much greater detail, actually, the different aspects of that artwork. And also the setting where that sort of digital choreography is happening, it's in an old church, and there's a video mapping going on in that church as well. So what you immediately get is sort of a feel about the history, and there is a place for the original artwork, obviously. But by extending that whole story through a digital leg, actually, to the story, you not only attract new audiences, but you also see a whole way of how digital technology and visualization can be integrated in actually a story that's already 500 years old, right? So that's a very sort of neat example of how you know, the old meets the new and how it's well integrated. A second example from the museum space that I can give is, for instance, a typical example that Barco were very proud of is Atelier de Lumière, but also, for instance, Artek House in New York, right? Think about the real estate and how expensive it is in cities like Paris or New York, for instance. And then think about the little cubicle that they have, relatively speaking, the black box that they have, where they really want to have artists to create their new own identity. And it is digital art that they bring, right? There is no sort of old historic artwork. It's actually all new. And these new artists, they use AD really to build their own identity, reach a certain audience. And it's amazing, actually, you know, how much visitors they attract simply by sort of turning around, you know, an old concrete building into a complete new dynamic living environment.
Yeah, and so I hope that the AV integrators listening are paying attention to this, because what's going to happen with this kind of stuff in the sales cycle is that the church isn't coming to you and saying we have this great idea, because that's not their vision for the church. It has to be sort of a collaborative effort. You either have to have a sort of an artist on residence, which most people don't have, or someone that has a vision for, hey, we could use the space differently. So you have this collaborative opportunity going on, because it's sort of like, I have this saying, whenever new technology comes out or something's differentiated in the way that it's presented, is that if you don't tell the customer it exists, they're definitely never going to buy it from you. So yeah. So if a church doesn't know that, hey, by the way, for the other 6 days a week, you could use it for this venue and make money off of it to support your church, then they're not going to think of something like that without someone sort of going in and saying, hey, have you ever thought of using AV technology this way? I guess, at least that's the way I see it. I see almost like, you know, the integrators that want to do this kind of work should have somebody sort of dedicated to doing these sort of experiences. So I guess for you, what is it like to do business with these, you know, with this segment of the market? I know they're very, they must be very demanding and also very specific about the way they want something, but how flexible are they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really where you know, many people, I think, quite often underestimate the dynamic. There is a creative aspect to this market. I already told you, you know, it starts with the story, right? If the story isn't there, then you know, people are not going to be interested. But there's a big gap between the actual story, the creative concept, and then the technical feasibility, or even the question, you know, should we use technology? You know, even sometimes it's overlooked. There's a sort of a default reflex that AV could solve a lot of things without really understanding what that actually means. And I think, you know, as Barco, where we are obviously, you know, in the value chain supplying the display in the end to systems integrators who then build those beautiful experiences that were conceived in the minds of an artist, we find ourselves much more often now being involved in discussions with the actual end users in conjunction with our system integrators in many cases, because basically they indeed have a creative concept and they don't want to be burdened with certain technical limits from day one. They want to dream on basically and really be creative and inspire their audience in the end. And that's the interesting dynamic here, because we actually can help them to translate the ID into technical feasibility, or with technical feasibility help assess whether or not it's possible or what the right technology is. And you know, what it has allowed us also to broaden our portfolio in that sense, right? To really play on not just a single technology or play on a single piece of equipment that sort of addresses a certain niche market, but to really go quite broad in our portfolio, what we offer, but also the choices in technology we provide, right? If you want projection, well, we can do it in different forms. If you want LED, we can also provide you an answer. And then we can actually talk about all of the other technical aspects that come with it, from processing, you know, to signal routing, whatever it may be. And that's the whole other discussion that you're having then. You're not talking about a single component and trying to say, hey, we can do this because, you know, XYZ is a feature. But then you really step into the story that they want to tell and think along, basically. And for us, again, it helps us to, you know, to come up with new products, basically, that also help address what the market actually needs and scale it further in other markets and keep on exploring.
So if I had to have you put a crystal ball in front of you and you had to tell me where you think what's going to be the new thing? You kind of already alluded to one thing, LED, but what's going to be the new, like, what's the future trends in this segment of the market outside of what we already covered? We covered sort of converting shopping malls and churches and museums into more experiential. Where do you think this will go? Do you think it'll go outside? Do you think that LED will drive experiences in more, more creative venue applications that projector can't? Where do you see this going?
Well, in any case, I think projection and LED on themselves, they have their own characteristics, right? If you want to have flexible use of any sort of shape or form and you have a conditioned environment, then projection really is a very cost-effective solution. And in my opinion, it will remain to be a cost-effective solution for a lot of years still to come. Obviously, as you just pointed out, I think LED allows actually to also break out into what I call less conditioned environments, especially when you look at the outside of buildings, right? If you look at how the architectural world is looking at light and visualization, particularly with LED, how they can embed that really into the buildings, but also the outdoor aspect of it, where literally, LEDs are being used to sort of cover a complete building. So during the day, it looks like a normal building, but at night, it really becomes a landmark on itself. I think that really is indeed a lot of uncharted territory still. There's so many creative aspects where LED could come in, despite the fact that indeed it is more intrusive and you need mechanics to really hang it onto your wall. But again, if you take that into account from day one, then it really become part of the design. And I think that's really where the next big step in LED is can be expected. I think next to that as well, also in traditional applications, conditioned even, LED has some advantages when it comes to contrast, when it comes to viewing angles, whereby also, more traditional applications will gradually convert more and more into seeing the benefits from LED. But that's indeed on the display technology. I think more importantly is what's behind the display technology and how you manage it. And that's an aspect we have not talked about yet. And I see two things there. One is especially the connectivity towards your equipment, right? I would say, the whole IoT trend, and it really is a buzzword in the end. But having connectivity from your equipment or to your equipment so that you can actually remotely manage the full fleet, even in fixed installation, a full fleet of different assets, is really becoming an essential part of an offering, right? Because as complexity goes up, there's more components that could go wrong. Although they are very much engineered to be reliable, you still want to have a peace of mind and a certain comfort feeling in the end that, you can very also remotely, you can, be sure and still check on a few parameters, right? And that's a big innovation in terms of enabling it technically, but that will drive further innovations in how we service and how we think about the lifetime in general of installations.
If an integrator is not in this segment of the business and might want to get into this segment of the business, what do they do? Who do they contact? I'm going to link your LinkedIn profile in the description of this podcast. And I'm also going to link a couple of the applications that you talked about. Art Tech House exhibition in New York City. And the one that you mentioned that's in a church in Belgium, which I think you said lights on something.
Oh, the painter, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to link those so they get an idea of what we're talking about here. And of course, everyone's been to Disney and seen all these rides or amusement parks, so you know what's going on there. But who do they contact? How do they get involved? If they want to start from square one, where do they start?
Yeah. I think first and for all, obviously, in the market, we're very much, appreciative of the work that our systems integrators and our distribution partners do, because in the end, they help fulfill that demand that's out there. So I think that's an important thing for us. Once projects are defined, right, that we always make sure that we have the right pair of eyes on there and really the professionals that can make it happen then in the end. But I think before the actual project there is indeed a key phase in conceptualizing and building the idea and the storyline. And obviously there's a lot of great companies out there that really can come up with creative ideas, production companies as well as creative concept designers. But to make the translation, you know, what we'd like to do is get some of our business development people as well involved, right? And that's what we do as Barco as well. We have dedicated folks that actually go out and just talk to end users so that they are aware of the fact that there is technology that could help them shape their story. And to sort of very openly try to have a discussion on where the technology should be. Because in the end, we strongly believe that in this market, technology is a means to an end, right? But it is an essential part. And that's obviously why we keep our eyes and ears open as much as we can in end user communities. And then we do integrate with certain industry bodies, obviously, you know, to bring across that message as well. But for sure, I mean, for myself, I'm very happy to, if you have my LinkedIn on there, I'm very happy to, you know, see per country or in the different regions that we serve, you know, who we can connect best with. Because it really depends on the story and the type of segment we're in.
Okay, well then that's it. They're going to contact you. And or their local business development manager, it sounds like. Yes, and of course, Barco's always been a leader in high-end projection. They last year you announced a collaboration and a ownership stake in Unilumen. So LED is a big part of your developing portfolio. You can check out Barco at barco.com. Leander, I really appreciate you joining me today and explaining this. This is a fascinating part of the market of AV, and it's exciting because you're in a segment of the market that's 100% chance of growth.
All right. It's been a pleasure, and thanks very much.
Thank you, and thanks for listening. All of our Rave Radio podcasts at ravepubs.com. Just click on the radio icon.